My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We are loaded, and across from me, the smiling, jubilant, I'm going to go with jubilant, face of Jonathan Peterlin. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
Good. I didn't think of a really good descriptive word to set you up there. I hope jubilant was good enough.
No, it was great. It was, I was smiley just because right before we went on, I smiled. Is that what happened there?
Smiling is your favorite. You've been saying that for a while.
I enjoy smiling.
So, yes, that, and we just had a weird exchange where
you stared at me.
We were pantomiming each other in some weird way.
I felt like you were giving off, like, I'm trying to tell you something vibes, and I was like, I'm not picking up on anything that's going on right now.
Okay, what's wild about that is I gave you those vibes because you had taken one headphone on, and I'm like, if he's going to take one headphone out, I'm going to take one headphone out because I'm going to match his energy here, because that's what we're doing. Hey, the Guardians lost. That sucked, but we got a lot to get into on that. Obviously, the Browns are still a dumpster fire. They're not going anywhere. We're going to get some Browns talk here. Got a lot of Guardians talk, though, today, reacting to game one. We got to get you ready for game two of the ALCS tonight. And I do want to start here. That I think if your takeaway from game one is the Guardians are cooked in this series, or, oh gosh, it's going to be hard, I think we watched a different game last night, no matter the fact that they lost or not.
I'm surprised that seems to be the reaction today. It didn't fit. And you know me, I like to hop in on other places and see what they're saying. Yankees fans all morning, and every show I listen to, they think last night was an absolute dumpster fire for themselves, and they're not too far off. They were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Boone mismanaged the back end of his bullpen like you wouldn't believe. Didn't go to his true 7-8-9. And there were many upset Yankees fans today, which tells me we're in a pretty good spot. Like that wasn't a game that the Yankees did Yankees things against us. We just kind of shot ourselves in the foot.
I do think last night proves that if you just strike a bunch of people out, people thought you did a good job. Like when it comes to Luke Weaver, he mowed him. He's got 5 Ks. You had opportunities in both situations where bad at bats. He didn't pitch his way out of anything. The Guardians swung their way out of that game, or in the case of Steven Vogt, managed their way out of that game at parts. So my confidence actually grew with last night because, okay, you got to start beating the Guardians. You got to start beating the Yankees. But you have to do the easiest thing in the world. You have to stop beating yourself first.
And that's exactly what's happening.
That's pretty simple. Steven Vogt has to be a little more with it. I think guys have to stop swinging at everything, especially out of the zone. The simple fixes get you the win last night, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, think about the big third inning that everyone's discussing. You know how many hits the Yankees had in that inning?
One.
One, and it was the home run. That was it. You had one hit in the whole entire inning. We're talking about that inning as if it was like if you're golfing and you put up like a 12 on the scorecard. You know what I mean? Just an absolute blow-up hole. We're talking about that inning being that, a blow-up inning. You allowed one hit.
Also, why did Steven Vogt act like he didn't know that was a possibility with Alex Cobb last night?
Like, well, okay. All right. We need to have a conversation about that as well, because
I had no idea this guy who's only pitched 15 innings was going to go in game one of the ALCS.
What did I tell you before the ALDS game? I'm like, the guy hasn't pitched in 5 weeks, and he's only pitched in 3 games all year, and everyone's just acting like this is the assumed role that he's going to have. And it's like, it's wild to me that he started game one, and not nearly as many people were bringing up that side of things.
So the starting of the game one is not the issue for me. The starting of the game one is fine, but if you're going to have a quick hook, how can you not have two plans? Hey, here's my plan if Alex Cobb can go 5 innings and 90 pitches. And here's mine if he gets into real trouble and I have to have a quick hook on him.
Right.
Not because of performance, but because of health, which is what yesterday became about. Initially, we thought it was about the blisters. Then it became apparent. I think it was everything. I think it was the hip freezing up on him.
They said hip at the end of it, but yeah.
And by the way, who knows if that's even being honest.
Right, for sure. They can just tell you anything.
He might have just been bad and didn't have it.
Which is a thing that does happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of... And listen, I think it's probably why players love playing for the Guardians, because they do give you that. But, like, I'm not even mad at Cobb.
No, but the signs were easy, though, that he didn't have it, though. This is like... It's like your buddy going on a date with a girl, and it's like, she's giving you all the signs that she's into you, and he still misses it. That's what happened with Vogt last night with Alex Cobb. Like, runners on first and second in the first inning. First two runners on. He gets out of the jam. Great. But you still had two runners on in that inning. Second inning, same situation. You have runners on first and second. You got the force out. But, like, how many more runners do you need on before we know that he just doesn't have it today?
All right. Alternative hypothesis here. I would have let Alex Cobb face another batter. Then even going into the thing, going with Joey Cantillo. Like, you, I texted you.
But Cantillo's not the call there, though.
I copy and pasted to, like, the same tweet to, like, four people. Big moment for Cantillo here. The implication
was... That was a copy and copy on pasta? That
yeah,
was,
I'm
you
sorry.
Copy and pasted that?
I'm sorry.
I felt very special.
Well,
I'm
you
like,
are
oh,
special.
Nick is texting me here. We're going to get this... we're going to get an in-game text thread going between me and you.
But it got it going. Like, you gotta give me credit for that. I wanted that dialogue with you.
Maybe part of me understood it was a mass text, because I don't think my responses were that great, if I'm being honest. I think I gave you mass text response.
I think your responses were better than Steven Vogt's responses last night. And can we just have this conversation? Guys, Steven Vogt can have a bad game, or in this case, back-to-back bad games, and it doesn't mean we have to say that Steven Vogt isn't a good manager.
For sure.
No, he just made the wrong decisions, and that sucks, but like, we continue to come back to this. The Guardians beat themselves last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cantillo had no business. You're talking about a high-leverage situation with a guy who, what, two appearances from the pen this year?
Yeah, well, one in the regular season against the Royals, and then one in the LDS against the Tigers. And then a Tigers game, remember, it was a 3-0 game in the eighth inning. There was no stakes attached to that at all.
Yeah, I want one of two things in that spot. I want experience, or I want command. Joey Cantillo has neither of those things.
You should have seen the reaction from some of my national baseball pundits that I like to read and take information from and everything, because they were flabbergasted.
Yeah.
They were like, I can't believe it. A guy with an ERA near 5, rookie pitcher, all these type of things, and you're going to throw him in there in that spot? It was confounding.
If you just flip Avila and Cantillo, the game's totally different. Because that kid was just not ready for that moment.
Honestly, if we're going to, and I didn't know we're going to do this quite yet, but if we're going to do this right now, why in high leverage situation like that, bases loaded, I don't know why people aren't thinking bigger. Why isn't Heron in that moment? Why aren't you putting, I know you wanted lefties. That's why I'm saying a lefty out there in general, because you had to have it stacked. That's kind of what he was doing there. Like, you got to get out of that inning, Nick.
You want to know the
true
answer?
He got greedy. Well, Vogt got greedy.
I don't think he got greedy. I think he said, I'll win this game if this game comes to us. But I'm not going to chase this game. I think that's all yesterday was.
No, I mean, you have to throw your big dogs there. Like Heron's got to be the guy. He gets out of every jam. He's been sensational. Like, I mean, what are we doing?
I think we made a clear and definitive choice last night, going into last night, where the importance of the first two games were. And I think they told you with conserving the bullpen in game one that they see game two as more winnable. And I disagree.
Against Gerrit Cole?
I think it is Gerrit Cole versus your best pitcher. And I think Gerrit Cole is probably an easier win for you than it is Rodon. I mean, Rodon is a guy who
I'm sure Tito said the same thing in game four of the 2022 series
too
as well.
Soon.
We saw how that went, Tito.
Too soon. All right, well, he's no longer here. He's in Cincinnati.
To Cincinnati. I yelled right to the Skyline Chili.
Do you have a problem with them saying to themselves, "We're if we win this game, cool. But I'm not going to bend over backwards to win this game.
No, that's a disastrous game plan, Nick. Okay. Absolutely disastrous. You have to go out there and set the tone against the Yankees. You have to let the Yankees know, one, that you're not intimidated by the pinstripes, you're not intimidated by who they think they are, and that you're a team that can come out and play. They didn't show that last night in any stretch of it, but like the Cantillo thing is going to blow my mind. If that was his logic, Nick, that's awful.
I think the team did show you that they were. The moment was too big for them last night.
I wondered if Cantillo could have, his press conference could have just been copy and pasting Jared Allen, the lights are too bright.
Yeah. I think they probably knew that, which is why maybe they felt more comfortable taking a softer approach to game one, is let the team get into this, let them feel that pressure, let them feel the lights are a little brighter, let them play in front of New York and understand you still have game two. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I at least understand that logic of, hey, this is going to be a huge moment for them. I think you saw even the Detroit series outside that first inning, the fifth inning, it took the team a minute to warm up in Detroit. I think it was a calculated decision. And it's a hedge bet. It only works if you win tonight.
With the ALDS game one, obviously you had a 5-run first inning and then it just kind of, that was it. You were off to the races.
Well, but there were moments where if you started to look later as that game went on, and certainly into game two, chasing things.
Well, and then we got the 20 innings of not scoring a run thing.
And so I think this was, hey, we've got 7 games here. I think we know we match up with these guys well. I think the win last night is you got into their bullpen early, so all of a sudden maybe you get a little bit more of that because Rodon really started to fall apart, sixth inning last night?
Yeah.
So I think you got into their pen too. I don't think you sacrificed any of your pen that matters. Like the Cantillo stuff over Lively, missed me with it.
It's just an awful philosophy if that's how they approached it.
Well, if they don't win tonight, it sure will be.
Yeah, I mean, you're down 2. If you go down 2-0, it's not impossible as we know, but like you go down 2-0, that's, you are behind the eight ball in a big time way.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, I think...
And the Yankees didn't play great. I mean, think about it. There was one hit. One hit they had in that inning. You got 4 walks and 2 wild pitches. Like, that's not... The Yankees didn't do anything. They didn't Bronx bomb you to death. They didn't just hit a bunch of home runs and call it a day.
But
like, they didn't do anything.
So the two culprits, and I don't want to play the blame game because, again, the world's not over. Like, yesterday sucked.
I felt encouraged, honestly, at the end of the game. I did feel encouraged.
But
because you can beat that team. I know you can beat that team.
But Vogt has to be smarter about when he picks and chooses guys like Cantillo, and certainly Will Brennan, another thing we'll get to. And the other thing is Guardians guys have to just be smarter. Don't swing at obvious balls. Like, Rodon is not Scooble. He's not some pitch-tunneling machine where you can't pick up, the little differences between this pitch and that pitch.
He is a swing-and-miss pitcher, though. You got to give him his credit.
He is, but that's why you can't swing at balls. And you did it far too often, and there's a few names we're going to call out today. But if you just tighten up on those things, I think you win tonight. Even with, maybe the fifth-best pitcher in baseball on the mound tonight? You got to Scooble, you can get to Cole.
I don't know. I don't know about Gerrit Cole right now. Obviously, he won the Cy Young last year. He's been a different pitcher this year, though. It's injuries. He's coming back from things, but he's been a different pitcher. This is not the same Gerrit Cole. Definitely not the same one that we saw a couple years ago in the postseason.
216-474-0092. Did you lose any confidence in the Guardians last night? We do have Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB Insider, coming up at 2:40. Lauren Gardner, MLB Network host and reporter. She's at 3:20. We've got Albert Breer at 5:20 of the MMQB. But as we get started here, Nick Wilson, JP, the question we're asking you guys is, did you lose confidence in the Guardians last night? I think JP and I both came away a little bit more confident because the Guardians beat themselves. Meredith, you got something for us real quick?
I do. I've got some breaking news over here from Ian Rappaport. The Bills are trading for Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper, sending a 3rd-round pick in the swap.
Man, bleep the Browns. Wow. Why we? I just want to talk Guardians today.
We got one Guardian segment out.
I mean, this is just textbook Cleveland Browns. Wow. Like, you got a day off. Stay off my Tuesday, man.
I guess they're telling you what they think about the season, huh?
Yeah. I think they're telling you what they think about Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is no longer a Cleveland Brown. Huzzah, or this is a nightmare. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amari Cooper, no longer a Cleveland Brown. I'm in no way surprised by this. And honestly, I'm a little bit encouraged by this.
Encouraged?
You changed something.
You made some move that says you're willing to shake the snow globe.
Yes. And I think while everybody thinks Deshaun is the obvious answer, I think the most obvious one was the wide receiver who can't catch a pass when it's thrown right to him, whether it's in his hands or in the numbers.
It's been so weird, though. He had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. We watched him have a 250-plus-yard game against the Texans. Like, he was, in the past couple years, he was the best part about the Browns' offense, and I don't even think that's debatable. And then to watch him go into this year and watch it just, I mean, Nick, after the drop pass that he had over the weekend, I was like, get him off the team. Send him to Mars.
It hit him in the hands.
You can't rely on him. The fall of Amari Cooper, 10 years he's been in the NFL, and he's been a 1,000-yard receiver with 5-plus touchdowns every year, like as consistent as it gets, and watching him not be able to do anything, how do you possibly keep that guy?
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I think there's some crocodile tears here about, Amari, he's been this and that. No, not really, because this moment has come for Amari in three places now. Like, he was 26 when the Raiders traded him as a highly productive wide receiver.
Each place, it ended pretty badly.
And it ended
badly with the Raiders, ended badly with the Cowboys, and now I can't say it ended great here.
Well, it took 6 weeks for me to go, I don't give a damn what you did the last 2 years. because this year you're not getting it done. So here's the thing. I think it's a great trade for Buffalo because I think Amari immediately becomes their best receiver. I think Amari gets out of Cleveland. I'll be honest with you guys. You want to put this on Deshaun? Put it on Deshaun. It's because Amari didn't get his money this offseason, and it's because, quite frankly, Amari was mentioned in trade rumors with the San Francisco 49ers, and that's when it was done.
Which should have made him mad. Let's be honest about it.
No, it shouldn't have.
Yeah, no, of course it should have.
This is the NFL. This is how this goes.
No. He has been the best offensive player on this team for the previous 2 years. Amari had every right to be mad about how that was going
down. What a low bar. It's a business. How has he not learned? If you're Amari Cooper, how have you not learned that this is a business?
Think about how the Browns treated him in this business. There's a right way and a wrong way to treat people, is there not?
Did they pay him $60 million across 3 years?
There's a right way and a wrong way to treat people. You want to try to trade people right before the season gets underway while also not giving them any amount of money that he was asking for or extending him while extending Jerry Jeudy, a guy that's never even played in a Browns uniform? I always sided with Amari on that side of things. I thought the Browns treated him horribly. That doesn't mean you get to go ahead and be laissez-faire about the season.
Well, see, that's where, for me, is if Amari had been doing everything, and Amari came out, what was this, 4 weeks ago, and was like, yeah, I got to start treating practices like they're games. You are a 10-year vet, dude.
Right. Well, you could tell. They broke him. I'm convinced that they broke him sort of way.
Come on.
Was busted.
Did you just go country music drop on me?
I always do. You have to pay attention here. I'm going to always just constantly throw country music lines in there at any chance I get.
Okay, so one, it takes two to tango here. So if you're mad at the Browns today for the Ayuk stuff, I get it. Guys,
I just think it makes sense.
32 teams out of 32 teams would have traded Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk. That's not a defense of the Browns. That's just an understanding of where you are.
Right, but just like when Baker found out that the Browns were going after Deshaun Watson, the moment he found that out, it was over.
Yeah,
same thing with Amari. He found that out, you knew the risk. You either had to land the guy or you didn't.
But the Browns didn't bag Amari at any point. They could have. They could have sandbagged him when he pouted after losing the contract battle. They could have sandbagged him.
They did sandbag him by paying Jerry Jeudy and all sorts of other people. They've given a million people contract extensions here. They didn't even consider it with Amari.
I think they did consider it. They just considered against it.
Okay, fine. That is a consideration. Considering against it is a consideration.
My idea that, I'm sure that there was a conversation, there was a quorum. Andrew went to Glenn. Glenn went to Timmy in accounting. Timmy in accounting went to Kevin. Kevin went, please, Paul DePodesta, can I weigh in?
DePodesta's got to be somewhere in this equation.
Then Jimmy was like,
this flow chart of suck that we're building here.
I think it absolutely was a conversation. They made the right decision not paying the guy. Isn't that what this proved? If you can't handle the way this went down...
Oh, yeah, Barry deserves credit for that. There's no denying that.
And I'll be honest with you.
But you got to live with the idea that Amari, you were never going to get the best version of Amari after that happened. We all live with the idea, Nick, that he was just like the wide receiver version of Nick Chubb and was too much of a consummate pro to ever let this get in the way of his actual stats and how he played. And guess what? They were wrong.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
Yeah. Well, and when we say they, the fans got it wrong. I'm sorry. The second that you start to half-ass it, I'm done. When you're one of the, 10 highest paid players on the team, and we've got to have conversations about you giving it your all, and I'll be honest with you. Listen, Deshaun's bad, Deshaun's awful, whatever you want to say. I'm not, this is not a defense of Deshaun. But the eye-rolling and everything else, this was a tsunami of negative. And if you, one, you did get something for him of value. You traded Amari in a sixth to Buffalo for a third and a seventh.
Yeah.
That is more than I thought you were going to get.
Which I think if you waited till week 9, you weren't going to get anything better.
And I think the most important thing is, yep, you basically paid for those moves because now I think basically they're getting him for like $800,000 this year. It's addition by subtraction. Do you have enough negative in that locker room? You don't need another one, no matter how much we liked Amari 7 weeks ago.
And that's right. It was 7 weeks ago. I mean, I've turned on Amari in many respects.
You have
I watched on Sunday. I'm like, he's not playing hard. He can't catch the football. He's not productive. What is he doing here?
And I just can't.
Watch him go to Buffalo, Nick, and be good.
I have no doubt, by the way.
You know it's going to happen.
Because every fresh start, it resets the odometer for Amari.
Yeah.
But this is not like the worst thing I can tell you about this trade is you traded him for a team that hypothetically you would be in a playoff battle for if your organization wasn't up its own wazoo right now. That's the worst thing I can say. But, I'll be honest with you, miss me with the blame Andrew Berry or Deshaun Watson. No, Amari had choices. And Amari's choice was he was going to be pissy about the contract. And then, on top of it, I don't like being mentioned in a trade. Tough.
I just don't think he had a right to be that.
Well, no. But okay, you have a right to be upset. But how you illustrate your upset
he
matters.
Wanted out. Clearly, he wanted out, and he got what he wanted, did he not?
Yeah, but he wasted a lot of my time.
For sure,
and
he did.
That's what upsets
for
me.
For sure, he did. But if his end goal, we're treating this as if like the Browns' end goal is the only thing that mattered in this equation. If his end goal, the moment that he almost got traded and then didn't get traded, was, well, I got to find a way to actually get traded because I don't want to be here anymore because they didn't want to extend me. They're wasting my season. I don't want to be here. Congratulations, Amari. You got what you wanted today.
Yeah. Could this have been better if you had done this in August?
Now you get to go play for an AFC title contender instead of a 1-5 football team.
Yeah, well, now you
got... Like, he did get what he wanted.
Yeah, but now you got 11 games to prove it.
Like, and I would bet a lot of money he does.
This is a... And listen, I think it stands to reason that going to Josh Allen gives you a better chance. But I lost all respect for you with the way this went down.
Well, and that's part of it, Nick, is that now you're, and I don't know that he was ever going to be somebody that Browns fans looked at as like an all-time, wonderful receiver and people that we bring back to the ceremonies years from now, but... He doesn't get to do any of those things now.
Well, no,
I don't think it matters to him, but like that idea is shot, as you correctly point out.
We'll bring him back, but we're going to bring back Jerry Jeudy first. Well, too soon? Too soon?
I mean, Jerry Judy's bank account is always playing.
Man, Jerry Jeudy better work out at this point.
I mean, that's what it is. You actively chose to reward somebody that hadn't played a down in a Browns uniform over the guy that had been your best offensive player
right.
for 2 years.
Was Jerry was?
I'm not saying it was the wrong move. I'm just saying that's how Amari looks at it.
Was Amari going to accept Jerry's money?
No.
Okay.
But it's still.
So it's not the same thing.
It's pretty close.
216.
You rewarded one and not the other.
You saw two people, you saw their values. Here was your value for Jerry. He accepted it. Amari didn't. Like, that's fine. These were all business. If this was just business decisions, I could get behind it.
You can still upset people in business, though.
Yeah, but
you can't
hide
under the idea that it's business, so I have to take it and be happy about it.
You realize how many times I've been upset in business, and you know how every time I went back and did good business, because that's what's in your best interest.
Yes. But Amari's best interest was getting to Buffalo. He didn't have to be good for you anymore.
So you're saying
his best interest was this trade.
So you're saying radio and the NFL, there's no overlap?
Yeah, not much, sorry.
All right, bad analogy.
Hate to break it to you.
216-474-0092. To Amari Cooper's been traded with a 6th-round pick to Buffalo for a 3rd-rounder and a 7th-rounder. Is this the right move? And I'm just going to say here, change. You wanted change. You got change. Are you going to complain about it now? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. JP, here is the official... This is how you know they wanted Amari Cooper gone, is we already, it's already been confirmed. It's out there. Andrew Berry saying, we appreciate Amari's hard work, professionalism, and on-field contributions throughout his 2+ seasons with us. He created many memorable moments with us and was an integral part of our 2023 playoff team. We wish him the best in Buffalo as he continues his NFL career. Not to go full Tim Robinson, but you sure about that? Just when it comes to like the professionalism part of that. But I mean, I think you say the right thing here. You wash your hands and you move the hell on.
Why is it such a bad thing that both sides could benefit from this?
Well, because we like to win our breakups.
I'm sorry.
It's not enough just to win our breakup.
Yeah,
we want the other person to suffer in their pain and agony and misery.
I'm sorry. You broke up with her, and then she started dating a rock star, and life is pretty good for her. Like, I'm sorry that it worked out that way, but you know what? This is what you wanted. You broke up with her for a reason, right? Like, with Amari, yeah, he gets to go play with Josh Allen. Like, did you see his statement to Josina Anderson?
No, like he has a statement.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm going to need you to read this one.
I don't know that it's a... I mean, it's a statement. I don't know what else to call it. He told Josina on Twitter, quote, Andrew Berry called me, told me what was going on as far as playing with Josh Allen. I've always been a fan of his game. I'm sure to see it up close and personal and play alongside him. I'm sure it's going to be great. I've been in this situation before, so that helps. I'm excited to turn a new chapter and be able to contribute. Like, he gets what he wanted out of this.
We
get what we wanted out of this too, though. I didn't want to watch Amari Cooper play football anymore.
Is it bad that I don't care?
Like, don't care about what? The trade, or don't care about Amari's feelings in this matter?
Any of this. I'm like, to
well, that's
me,
a big deal now. Our number one wide receiver is Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, I'm okay. Our number one wide receiver wasn't catching passes and was too busy rolling his eyes. Like, if this locker room is already divided, and listen, I don't think this magically fixes anything. It's not like all of a sudden, you're going to beat Cincinnati now because you traded Amari. But this is like, you did something. So what is bewildering is it took the GM to do something first. You know, the head coach has had 6 weeks here, and I'm not trying to turn this into bag on Kevin Stefanski. Maybe this was Kevin Stefanski asking Andrew Berry to do something to help him in that locker room. But okay, here's the thing. There are so many dynamics in that locker room at 1-5. There are so many things here. And I guarantee you, being in that is like being in a morgue. There's no vibe. I know guys like each other because there is love. A lot of these guys have played together for a while. But you cannot have a $25 million player. If you can't have a $50 million quarterback playing like the worst quarterback in the NFL, you damn sure can't have a 25-year-old sullen wide receiver upset because he's still making money for the rest of this year and set up for another payday and at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, but that's what it is. He was disgruntled. How many times did we see him actually get mad at the media and go back and forth? Remember that testy exchange a couple weeks ago? Like, there were parts of Amari... Legitimately, we talked about him as if he was like the greatest teammate you've ever seen, the greatest employee the Browns have ever had, like the consummate pro, all these type of things. And then, I mean, boy, when it fell fast, Nick.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't know this is enough change, but it is change.
Well, no, you're taking talent off the field. Even if this talent decided not to be talented anymore, you're taking what should have been your number one wide receiver off. And I don't know about you, Nick, but we were ranked somewhere between 17 to 23rd in the NFL entering the season with wide receiver rankings. You take Amari off that list. Unless you're Patrick Mahomes, have fun throwing to Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, and Cedric Tillman. Go enjoy that.
You've lost in spite of talent. Like, this is, and I hate when you're in a position like this where I made the football team worse, but I might have improved the culture. But if this team is going to have any chance here, and here's the thing, this can't be the last thing.
Oh, no, this is the first domino, I would think.
Well, it damn well better. And I'll be honest with you. Now that the first domino's fallen, I think if you want to say Deshaun's the second domino, sure. If you want to say Ken Dorsey getting the offensive playbook or the play call is the next, okay. But, like, this is more, to continue to quote Ralphie May, every chance I get the late great, this is still more than a Diet Coke fix. But you at least started today.
Let me ask you this. Is this the beginning, then? You say started. Is this the beginning of the Browns making a bunch more moves? Are we going to have Za'Darius Smith traded tomorrow? Like, what are more things coming? Is this open the floodgates for trade season for the Browns?
I still think that answer lies in what happens the next 3 weeks. So, and I'm not trying to run or dodge on this. But I think this is the thing that sends to everybody in the organization, hey, if you don't want to be here and we're not tied up in business with you long term, we're going to help you go where you want to go because it's not going to be here. So I do think this is a message.
Because they've been getting reports for, according to what I'm seeing on Twitter here, for weeks they've been getting calls about Amari Cooper, weeks with an S, which means they've had opportunities. Something snapped. Something happened this week.
I believe it was his performance.
No, I know. I sat there on Sunday and I legitimately was texting back and forth with friends being like, Amari's toast. Well, he's got nothing here.
And I also think it was the most obvious domino to fall. Like, if you're not going to bench Deshaun and you're not going to, Kevin's not going to bench himself.
Value for it as well. Yeah. And maybe Devontae Adams helped set the market a little bit too.
And listen, you can sell this as Cedric Tillman now gets a run, right? You can sell this as more opportunities for Jerry Jeudy.
Hey, more jet sweeps.
We want people, or maybe, what was that sweep they did on third and one?
That's
with
what
James?
I'm talking oh, about. That's, okay. Yeah, yeah,
was
yeah.
that a jet sweep? There was somebody.
I think they called it a fly sweep.
Oh, fly sweep, yeah. So I just. Like, I hate to be in this position where I'm trying to better the locker room by decreasing the talent. They're not 1-5 because they're untalented. They're 1-5 because they can't all get on the same page, and you can't continue to come out every week and go, hey, we're going to do things better. We're going to execute more. At some point, somebody has to be accountable.
It sounds like you're happy they just did something.
I don't like it framed that way. But I am...
Okay, let's frame it.
Well, because I think this isn't just a move to make a move. This is absolutely a declaration to everybody. If you don't want to be here, Za'Darius, if you're not happy, don't worry. What? You got 3 games left.
I think then we're going to have a race for players trying to show us how unhappy they are so they can be traded to, I don't know, checks notes, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Like, that seems like a pretty good... Like, Amari got everything he wanted.
Well, but... He
soaked about it, he complained about it, and got everything he wanted.
And
you're rewarding childish behavior, but he got rewarded here.
Yeah, but the Browns look good in this. Because they didn't do it out of spite. They didn't do what the Giants did in Dave Gettleman. They didn't trade him to a place the guy had no business being in, like when Gettleman traded OBJ here. So you did send
him. There were offers, according to reports, or multiple other offers.
But they could have dogged him in this. They didn't.
Yeah.
Like, the optics of this do matter around the NFL. The Browns could have been Absolutely. They could have jammed him up on the way out, and they didn't. But this is, I really do think, like, if you want more change, just keep waiting. Because this is saying, if the next 3 weeks we don't see you play hard, do the right things, whether you like Deshaun, dislike Deshaun, whether you love Coach Kev or hate Coach Kev, this is no longer about this. This is about who's coming with me and who's staying behind. And if you want, we'll send you somewhere nice with pretty scenery and all the things you want, because we don't care.
Buffalo does have pretty scenery.
So I think this is a shot across the bow.
That
with
was
the
a joke,
room.
By the way.
Yeah, are you talking about the 3M
yeah,
company?
Yeah, no, Kayla looked at it like, what are you talking about? It's like, I was obviously, that was sarcastic. Yeah,
there's a lake there, Niagara's down the road. But no, I mean, I think this is a shot across the bow to the rest of the locker room. This is where we are. If you win the next three games, kumbaya. If you don't, hey, let's get a six-rounder for Za'Darius.
I don't think Andrew Berry is ready for the amount of people that would take him up on that offer. If it's like, line up, and then we'll just send you wherever you want to go and put together your dream list, and we'll just accommodate everybody.
But who are we talking about? We're talking about Za'Darius. I love Za'Darius.
We've thrown Za'Darius' name into it a lot because he seems like an obvious candidate.
Like, we're not talking Miles yet.
That's one of your better players on the defensive line. That is your number one wide receiver. Like, we'd be sending a lot of talent out the door.
One-year deal.
Okay.
All right. I'm not trying to turn them into Jadavian, but we are talking 1 year deal.
You see how it seems like they're putting a premium on the upcoming draft.
Well, at least Andrew Berry's great at that. 216-474-0092. He's going to send himself to Buffalo at this rate. Amari Cooper and a 6th-round pick to Buffalo for a 3rd and 7th-round pick.
I'm envisioning Andrew Berry coming up with a dream list as well.
Is this enough change for right now, or is this the first domino? Kate, BP, John, Mark, Jeff, Ben, you guys next. More change for the Browns on 92.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.